Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Stop calling them migrants. They're not migrants. They're illegal aliens. They are invading this country. Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. Yeah, it's always great to remind folks of that point. You know, whenever you read these news stories, migrants, just like they were calling the Hamas terrorists that slaughtered 1,400 innocent people, including women and children and infant babies, slaughtering entire families in their homes, kidnapping infants out of their cribs. Oh, they were Hamas militants. No, they are terrorists. Same thing with this whole migrants. No, they are illegal aliens. They are breaking into this country illegally, and they are robbing this country of vital resources while our country is going bankrupt. You know, we've seen veterans, homeless veterans in places like New York City, get removed out of hotel rooms so that illegal aliens can live there instead. And now get this news. I saw this story over the weekend. In fact, thanks to our friend Chris Ingett with Concerned Veterans for America Montana, he flagged this story. VA's role in migrant medical care draws scrutiny from advocates as the border crisis intensifies. And on Fox and Friends over the weekend, Darren Selnick, who is a senior advisor for Concerned Veterans for America, he had this to say.
Is it really the case that when someone comes across the border illegally, in some way, they're using the VA to get healthcare services?
Hey, Pete, thanks for having me on your show. Yeah, it's happening. And I got to tell you, when I found out about this a few weeks ago, it made me mad. And everyone I've talked to is a veteran. It makes them mad. VA's mission is to serve veterans. It's not to help ICE and the Border Patrol, which we have the documents, which on their websites and from a memo. It's not to help them go ahead and process medical claims and pay medical claims and make it easy for the unauthorized migrants to get health care and dental care. So what is happening is, and look, as someone who's a former senior advisor in the Trump administration at the VA and an advisor at the White House, I would have stopped this. We would have stopped this because it's not right.
All right. That was Darren Selnick, who's been here in Montana for several veteran listening sessions alongside Concerned Veterans for America, Montana. We've got the phone lines open for you here later this hour of the show. So anything and everything you want to talk about here on Monday's Montana Talks. But first up, though, given this big news, it was breaking over the weekend. We do want to get a chance to hear from our friend Chris Ingett, a Purple Heart veteran with Concerned Veterans for America, Montana, to talk in more depth about just what is going on here. When you think about the fact that veterans here in Montana might have struggles getting their claims processed, and then to hear that the VA is helping to process claims for migrants, illegals, instead of them, it also makes it harder on our VA personnel, the great men and women that work for the VA here in Montana as well, who could probably use a little bit of backup. But anyway, more details right after this. Chris Ingett, CVA Montana, and then your phone calls after that.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's jump right into it here with Chris Ingett, Concerned Veterans for America, Montana. Chris, thanks for being with us. So what's the story here when it comes to the VA supporting and processing claims for illegal aliens, even though it's still hard to get all the claims processed for our own American veterans?
Good morning, Aaron. Thanks for having me back on. And yeah, really what we're facing here is we have veterans who have made incredible sacrifices for our country. We're facing barriers to accessing that community care that we've earned while these migrants and those that are seeking asylum are being offered this healthcare option through the VA. And it's happening very, very, very quickly for them. And right now, the VA is processing claims for these unauthorized migrants. Well, there are over 300,000 backlog claims in the VA pipeline of veterans that are not being processed and potentially harming thousands of veterans by delaying this health care. And we've seen, we have extensive evidence that the VA is trying to steer veterans away from this care in the community option. I've been on talking with you before on different avenues that the VA is trying to restrict that for veterans, even though we've got long wait times and long drive times. Very specifically in Montana, we have these struggles trying to access this care in the community for veterans, and it's just not working for us. And there's a bunch of different resources out there that we've been trying to put out, and we've been trying to share, and even having the House getting involved in trying to investigate why are veterans not getting care in the community as an option, and the VA is actively trying to prevent it for us veterans.
Yeah, to me it just seems crazy because even if I were to look at this, obviously you and I are both military veterans, but not looking at it from a veteran standpoint. Let's say just from an efficiency standpoint, if I were a VA employee, that like some of the great workers that we have on the ground here in Missoula, Montana, Billings, Montana, Butte, Montana, you name it, and if I'm being overwhelmed in trying to respond to the veterans under my care, boy, I could really use some backup in processing paperwork, answering some phone calls. But we've got extra resources apparently to go help process claims for illegal aliens, but we don't have extra resources to back up our VA workers who are trying to serve veterans here in Montana.
Absolutely, and we really want to see these people that are working in the VA that are amazing and they are doing incredible things for veterans, and they want to do so much more to ensure that a veteran's health is taken care of. And I think you're absolutely right that they need that backup. They need that support. And all of those resources should be pointed into the veteran community first. That's what the VA's mission is to take care of the veterans that have come home and come home broken. And we need to ensure that we're giving them every resource that they possibly can to ensure that veteran's health is taken care of. Instead of trying to actively discourage us from using this care in the community and actively discourage us from getting our health care needs met, they're sending these resources into different areas and taking care of a demographic that was never designed to be taken care of by the VA.
Well, it's interesting that you mention that, too. No joke, as I was playing the audio of Darren Selnick on Fox and Friends, and Darren was here in Montana alongside you as you guys were hosting these town hall meetings with some of our congressional delegation members across the state, hearing from veterans, answering their questions, highlighting some of their concerns, et cetera. But as I was playing the audio from Darren, he actually sent me this video that apparently came from a VA employee, a VA whistleblower, and the video shows the VA Undersecretary of Health, Dr. Sharif El Nahal, basically on camera to these VHA employees telling them, we've got to stop hitting the, quote, easy button of community care. We need to focus on expanding the care that we provide, not hitting the easy button and letting people go to more of this community care. What he's basically saying is, hey, I know this is easier for veterans. I know it's good for local hospitals and local clinics that could use the business. And then you don't have a veteran driving all the way across Montana to get this care. Instead, they can go to their local hospital or another local doctor. So no, stop pressing the easy button, because he just wants to expand the government bureaucracy.
Yeah, and once again, this is the VA, in my opinion, it's betraying veterans. That's prioritizing the bureaucracy over the veterans' healthcare needs, and we need to pay attention to our nation's heroes that we have right in Montana, and listen to what they have to say about the VA and them not getting care. And if care in the community is good enough for non-citizens, then it should be good enough for veterans that have sacrificed their lives for freedom and for our freedoms that we get to enjoy today. And I think you're absolutely right, and it absolutely feels like a betrayal to take care of non-citizens in front of veterans who sacrificed for this country.
Well, and especially when it comes on top of the reports we've seen out of places like New York City, where they're kicking homeless veterans out of hotel rooms so they can put illegal aliens in there instead. It was interesting in this FoxNews.com piece, apparently somebody in the government is claiming that this was part of a a longstanding agreement that predated the Biden administration. But Darren Selnick made it clear. I mean, he was working for the Trump White House on Veterans Affairs issues. He said that he was not aware of this being in place while he was at the White House. And furthermore, had it been in place, they would have stopped it, because he said this would not have happened while they were in charge.
Absolutely. And this is something that they have tried to keep under wraps and tried to keep as quiet as they possibly could. And I just think that lends to the credence that they know it's wrong, and they know it's not right to prioritize non-citizens over veterans' health care. And really, I mean, that's why CVA and Concerned Veterans for America Montana is fighting so hard to put veterans back in charge of their own health care, so that they can get out of this bureaucracy. They can get away from all of this kind of solutions that are being presented to them.
And all right. Hold.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we've got phone lines open for you right here on Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk anything and everything you want to talk about, or you can jump in on the conversation. Give us a ring, 406-294-0970. We'd love to hear from you. And for the rest of the hour, we've got the phone lines open to what you want to talk about, and you can be heard all across Montana. In fact, we were going to have just the whole hour of doing nothing but taking your phone calls, but I definitely wanted to invite Chris Ingot to join us here at the top of the show statewide, just because this is such a big deal, and I've already been getting messages from some of our listeners wondering what the heck is going on here. Chris, again, thanks for joining us here at the last minute. Any final thoughts you wanted to share with our listeners across Montana?
Yeah, I really want to just get into, you know, the VA is once again betraying our veterans and prioritizing the health care needs of others before taking care of our heroes and the heroes that they're meant to serve. So veterans fought for every American, and Congress needs to fight for them. And in return, hold the VA accountable for what they aren't doing. And in this case, they're not taking care of veterans, and they're not ensuring veterans are getting the care that they need as timely as they need. And so really what we want to see is veterans have full choice over their health care, where they get to make the decisions. Is this what's in my best interest, going to my local clinic, or is it in my best interest for me and Billings to go to Fort Harrison or to Sheridan? I should be the one making that decision and being in charge of that. And so we really want to see the Veterans Healthcare Freedom Act pass that rebuilds the VA healthcare system foundation so it works for the veteran, not the bureaucracy. Because we see time and time again how the system is protecting its own bureaucracy over the needs of veterans. And so we really need to see the Veterans Healthcare Freedom Act come about. And so I would ask that anybody who's interested, please reach out to us. That they can go to our website, cb4a.org, or you can reach out to me. My phone number is 406-696-0443. Reach out to me and see how you can get involved in this to make sure that we are holding our legislators accountable to our veterans so that they get the health care that they need.
Yeah, no, well, again, thanks for joining us. Thanks for putting a spotlight on this important topic. And I'm glad you gave out your contact info there because, yeah, I was going to say, I mean, we can encourage folks to contact their congressional delegation, and that's always important to do so that they're hearing from you, so they know that this is important to you. But in reality, you know, from at least one of them, you might just get a form letter back, and that's about it. You get a hold of Chris Ingot and his team at Concerned Veterans for America, then you really can help be a part of a team that's going to fight back with a game plan, with a strategy, in addition to just simply contacting a congressional delegation member. So, Chris, thanks for the time this morning. Thanks for calling in.
Absolutely. And do reach out to them. If you get that form letter, you get that form letter, but it reminds them that you get with us in Montana, we're not going to let this go.
That's right. All right, Chris, thanks again to you and your team, and say a big thank you to Darren Selnick from your team as well for putting a spotlight on this on the national front. Great job on Fox and Friends. All right, 406-294-0970 is the number for you. If you got something you want to talk about, you want to jump in on the conversation here. The one other thing that I wanted to add to this conversation that we just had with Chris Ingot is, because, look, I get it. There's, you know, Montana has, you know, the highest number of veterans per capita in the country. I think we're tied for number one veterans per capita in the country right now. There's over 100,000 military veterans just like Chris and me out there. So many incredible folks out there. They could run circles around me, that's for sure. And have sacrificed a lot more than I've sacrificed. But that being said, there's a lot of you out there that are listening that aren't veterans. And so you might be saying, well, how does this news apply to me? Let me break it down this way. I think about allowing veterans more access to community care. What does that mean? Well, if you're in Plentywood or you're in Wolf Point, these rural healthcare facilities are vital, right? No matter how big, no matter how small the clinic might be or the long-term care facility, the nursing home, the assisted living facility, these types of resources in small town Montana, where you might be several hours drive away from that type of a capability, is a huge resource. And it's also important to your local economy, because then that money and those jobs stay in your community. You know, you think shop local, buy local. Well, same concept. Think about it this way. If the VA bureaucracy in Washington right now under the Biden administration is saying, don't just press the easy button. Make it harder on those. What they're then basically saying is, hey, make it harder on those veterans. Make them get on a bus to Fort Harrison, or make them get on a shuttle to Billings to go get that care. What they're doing is, now when they get on that bus to go get that care somewhere else, not only are they going to have to suffer through a long drive with low back pain — sitting's the worst, by the way, if you got low back pain, as anybody can tell you — not only that, but that is now money that is leaving your community. And so when those veterans are able to get community care in your community and go to your hospital, your clinic, your local physician, name the facility, that is money that is staying in your community instead of getting on a bus and then being shipped out somewhere else. And so it not only helps those rural health facilities stay in business and be more economical, which helps you because then you're more likely to have that service for the long haul. It also just helps the veteran because they're not, you know, having to drive all the way across the state to go get this stuff, or wait for a really long time until it all shuffles through. Another update I wanted to give you on a big story we covered last week. We've got a story on our Montana Talks website right now. A secret agreement brokered between the Biden White House and a few powerful interests in the Pacific Northwest could have devastating consequences for Montanans when it comes to the price of electricity. The secret deal also locked out Montana tribes. That was the word that we got from Mark Lambrecht last week when he joined us on the show to talk about the big news that broke about this secret deal coming out of the federal government. Well, now on our Montana Talks website, you can see it. We've got an open letter from Gary Weens, who is the CEO of the Montana Electric Cooperatives Association, on that very topic. He says a recent agreement negotiated in secret by the White House could have serious consequences for Western Montana Electric Cooperatives. The federal government is planning by December 15th to sign an agreement with Oregon and Washington, along with four tribes outside of Montana. So they have deliberately left Montana tribes completely out of this entire deal. The agreement was developed in secret without input from public power customers, such as Western Montana's electric cooperatives. If enacted, the 220,000 Montanans could lose access to this power. Montana's electric cooperatives are most alarmed at the agreement's plans to alter water flows to reduce electricity generation, but it also could affect other interests like irrigation, municipal water supply, recreation, and even Montana grain shipments. The agreement would also commit the government to fund and provide technical assistance to non-Montana tribes to develop replacement power should Congress authorize Lower Snake River Dam breaching. But again, the Montana tribes don't get a benefit from that. They don't get to be a part of the replacement power plan. Once again, here, what do we see? We see a pattern here where the very same people that are trying to force you to buy electric vehicles are the same people that are taking away your electricity. And the other big news that came out over the weekend, I don't know if you saw this, but there was a big carbon burning festival. It was a big carbon burning festival in the United Arab Emirates. Apparently, this was the largest carbon footprint ever for COP28, which was the climate summit that John Kerry was attending in Dubai, in the United Arab Emirates. And by the way, all the Middle Eastern oil guys, they sure were happy, they sure were cheering when they heard John Kerry attack American coal.
And coal is about PM 2.5. when you measure the PM 2.5, it's double for coal. Now, we don't need that necessarily to tell us we ought to be transitioning out of coal. There shouldn't be any more coal-fired power plants permitted anywhere in the world. That's how you can do something for health.
And then he goes on to say how he's become even more militant on this topic. But yeah, basically the Biden administration, that was the big news out of the climate summit, or the big carbon burning festival that they all flew their private jets to. That was the big news, that the Biden administration basically announced how not only are they going to refuse any new coal-fired power plants, but how they are going to work to do away with what remains of coal-fired power plants right now. 406-294-0970 is the number for you. Let's go to Steve in Belgrade. Steve, thanks for the call.
Yeah, you bet, Aaron. Can you tell me what country practices all 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto?
Well, I think you've called in about that before, but how would that apply to today's conversation? What are you fired up about today?
Well, I'm fired up today because we have allowed the money changers to take over the news media, to take over our money system, to take over basically America, and we have none of the Bill of Rights left intact. And then we send our children to the public school system, dumb them down. They come out of there. They don't know what the Constitution says, what's going on. And like most people just wonder what's happening. There are a few people that make things happen, and that's the money changers. And so they create all these problems, offer us the solution to the problems they created, and then we accept it.
I don't know, it's easy to blame everybody else, but I don't know, I thought our friend George Blackard, they made a good point on Friday to talk about how we the people are to blame. Because every time they try to cut spending, there's an element of we the people that says, no, you can't cut that. And then they say they don't like the negative ads, but then what do? They reward the people that do the negative ads.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordland.
USDA is forecasting lower ag exports in fiscal year 24, coming in at $169.5 billion, down $2.5 billion from the August forecast. Wheat exports are forecast down $800 million to $6 billion on lower unit values in ongoing competition with Russia in the EU. Livestock, poultry, and dairy exports are also forecast to drop by $1.3 billion to just $36.3 billion due to declines across most products. Beef and pork exports are projected $300 million lower on tight supplies and lower demand, respectively.
Are you concerned about the impact government policies could have on your cattle business? One way to make your voice heard in Washington is by joining NCBA. When you join, you'll be part of the nation's oldest and largest national cattle industry organization that has a professional team working in Washington, D.C. on issues that matter to cattle producing families nationwide. Don't stay on the sidelines. Make your voice heard by joining NCBA today at the website ncba.org.
As USDA expects lower ag exports, corn exports from the U.S. were forecast down $500 million in fiscal year 24 to $12.8 billion. As for soybean exports, they're now projected to be $500 million lower at $26 billion on lower exportable supplies. I'm Lee Northland.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, big thanks to our friend George Blackard for covering down on the show Friday. I got to tune in a little bit while I was driving around, but yeah, always fun. Always a nice Freedom Friday whenever George Blackard is in the house with us, and Dennis Pittman sidekicking with him, so fun time listening in. Phone lines are open for you, 406-294-0970. It was funny, even though I wasn't on the radio Friday morning, I was still up Thursday night watching that debate between California Governor Gavin Newsom and Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. So I might have missed some of what you guys talked about on Friday, but if you didn't cover the Newsom-DeSantis debate, I got a kick out of that one. I'd love to hear some of your reactions. Get to that and much more here in a second. But first, you know, we were talking about our southern border. We were talking about our veterans, and we mentioned how you've had, you know, veterans, homeless veterans in New York City get kicked out of hotel rooms that they were staying in. Because sometimes if the homeless veteran shelters are overwhelmed, they have veterans programs that will place them in hotel rooms. And instead of building a facility or renting out a facility, they'll just rent the rooms from an existing facility, right? And so, but what was happening was they were kicking homeless veterans out of these rooms and putting illegal aliens in there instead. And now we got the news from Chris Engett with Concerned Veterans for America Montana that the VA is helping to process claims for the illegal aliens on our southern border when that type of assistance is desperately needed within our own VA system to support our veterans. And so we've been talking about all that. Well, Tim Sheehy, the Navy SEAL veteran out of Belgrade, Montana, who's a Republican candidate for the U.S. Senate, he was on Fox and Friends over the weekend, had this to say. He was asked about a new poll that shows that a majority of Americans see China now and the communist Chinese as our top national security threat. And you'll notice if you see some of the campaign commercials that Liberal Senator John Tester is putting out there, Tester is trying to sound tough on China. Because apparently he has been hearing some of these same polling results out there. Anyway, this is what Tim Sheehy then not only talked about China, but talked about China's role in colluding with the Mexican drug cartels, taking advantage of our wide open southern border. Oh, hold on. Let's get it planned for you here. Hold on. There we go.
America's at a crossroads, Will, and the American people understand threats when they see them. They don't need to be told by the State Department or the White House what our threats are. They can feel it every day. Wide open southern border, 70,000 Americans a year dying from fentanyl-related overdoses. In some cases, 10,000, 20,000 migrants a day coming here, bringing drugs, bringing crime with them, and much of that is fueled by China. Five-time increase in fold in farmland ownership by China in the last decade. They're undermining our security all over the world. They're stealing our intellectual property. They're imprisoning business leaders. They are actively undermining American freedoms all over the world, and we're doing nothing about it. And this is the same as in Iran, where we're giving them billions of dollars a year. We're empowering our adversaries all over the world, from Europe, Middle East to Asia. Time for it to stop. We need a new generation of leaders that's going to put America first, and that's why I'm in the race. TimFrenti.com.
All right. Yeah, and then he went on to describe Montana being a northern border state with a southern border a problem, and talk more about the particular impacts that we're seeing on the ground here in Montana. But as he talked about what China is doing to undermine America's economy, that's pretty frustrating, isn't it? But you expect adversaries like the communist Chinese, or competitors, whatever word you want to use, you expect them to try to undermine us. But here's what's really frustrating is we have our own leaders that are undermining America right now. I mean, we were talking about this secret agreement that would undermine, electric customers in western Montana with what they're trying to do to the hydropower in the Pacific Northwest. And then in the east, what they're trying to do to Colstrip. This is another headline from FoxNews.com. The U.S. commits to shutting down its coal plants during COP28, the Biden administration is forging ahead with its green agenda by committing the United States to not building any new coal plants and phasing out existing plants. They already took out Colstrip 1 and 2, and now they want to take out Colstrip 3 and 4. and they're also trying to take out the hydropower dams. Does it get any more climate change friendly than hydropower? And yet they are working to remove the hydropower facilities as well. I think we all can see exactly what is happening here. The other thing that I hadn't even realized yet until I pulled up the Unleash Prosperity hotline here, Steve Moore's outfit, is that it, in addition to their commitment to end coal power in America, they also announced Kamala Harris just agreed to spend another $1 trillion on climate change. The White House announced at the COP28 Climate Change Conference that it will unilaterally impose regulations that will cost the U.S. economy a cool $1 trillion by ending methane emissions in the United States. This puts a regulatory chokehold on American oil and gas producers, while virtually no other country, especially not China, has agreed to do the same. The price tag? $1 trillion of your money and my money. That's the summary there from Steve Moore with the Committee to Unleash Prosperity. Phone lines are open for you, 406-294-0970. Yeah, and I mentioned earlier, I don't know if you guys kind of called in with some of your reactions to the great red state versus blue state debate last Thursday between California Governor Gavin Newsom and Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. Even though I was taking Friday off, I was still up watching the debate. You know, when you're a nerd like me, that's considered fun on a Thursday night. I don't read the news, watch the news, listen to the news just because it's my job. I do it just because I'm passionate about this stuff. I'm passionate about our state and our country and our freedoms. And I enjoy discussing these things. And so that's why I'm lucky enough to have a job like this where I get a chance to hear from so many of you and talk to so many of you. But there were some great highlights from that debate. This one, I almost forgot about this one. I think our producer, Travis, snagged this soundbite. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis went after California Governor Gavin Newsom over the huge increase in the homeless transient population in California.
California does have freedoms that some people don't, that other states don't. You have the freedom to defecate in public in California. You have the freedom to pitch a tent on Sunset Boulevard. You have the freedom to create a homeless encampment under a freeway and even light it on fire.
And then, of course, when he held up that image of the app that they use in San Francisco to document where they find all of the human feces on the ground, the whole paper was covered in, well, it looked like Adam Schiff. The whole paper had these brown dots almost covering it because that is how big the human feces problem has become in San Francisco because of their pro-transient policies, similar to some of the pro-transient policies that we see in Bozeman now, that we see have seen in Missoula for at least a couple of decades now, right? But I got to say, this clip was actually my favorite. Because of the Montana connection here, this was my favorite clip of the night.
So I was talking to a fella who had made the move from California to Florida, and he was telling me that Florida is much better governed, safer, better budget, lower taxes, all this stuff. And he's really happy with the quality of life. And then he paused and he said, "Oh, by the way, I'm Gavin Newsom's father-in-law." So we do count Gavin's in-laws as some of the people that have fled California and come to the state of Florida. And why are we getting people to come? We have a 50-year low in the crime rate. You don't see, in the last 10 years, we've had a 45% decline in homelessness. California's had a 45% increase in homelessness. We back the blue. I was walking the streets of San Francisco a couple months ago, and I had some of the cops in San Francisco do a beeline to come over to me, and I didn't know what they were going to say. And they're like, "We want to thank you for standing for law enforcement, because we don't get that support in the state of California." So people understand quality of life matters. They understand that Florida's doing it right. And I can tell you the numbers speak for themselves. We have way more people moving to this state than leaving.
Yeah, anyway, DeSantis cleaned the floor with Gavin Newsom. But really, frankly, any red state governor, like Governor Greg Gianforte, could have cleaned the floor. I mean, he could have, you know, he could have really brought Gavin Newsom to the floor in a debate like that. Because, look, the red states are cutting taxes, pro-growth, pro-business policies, pro-freedom. And Gavin Newsom and these lockdowners, they just can't resist. And now they're in a massive deficit in California. We've got another big surplus continuing to flow in here in Montana. But the funny Montana connection to that clip that I just played for you is Gavin Newsom's father-in-law left California for Florida. He also owns a lot of property in Montana, which is why Gavin Newsom flees to the red state of Montana for a vacation from time to time. Back with your phone calls right after this.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we've got some great messages that have come in on our Montana Talks app. We got messages from Lewistown, Columbia Falls, Sunburst, and Belt. I'll get to those in a second. First, let's go into the phone lines. Let's take you to Lewistown. We got Tim on the phone lines. Tim, thanks for the call.
Yeah, thank you. First off, I want to say thank you and all our servicemen for your time. And
Thank you.
Got to turn my radio down.
You get the feedback in the background. That's all right.
Yeah. So, anyway, thank you guys for your service. And, you know, I'm not belittling your show. I love your show. But you, Sean Hannity, all these talk show people talk about all these problems. And I'm putting it on you guys to make a movement. We need term limits.
Yeah, I agree.
All of these politicians that you get on the show, term limits. You think about any topic that you bring up on your show, it all goes back to corruption, and that you're never going to eradicate it, but term limits.
Yeah,
and getting God back into our country, and at what point do we have a real, actual, live January 6th, or where we go in and our America goes to the White House or Washington, and we take our country back?
What you said about term limits is spot on, and I know it was delivered in the 90s, and then the Supreme Court basically said no, but we've got to keep pressing for that. We've seen some changes on the Supreme Court now. Maybe that could open up the door for it, but you're right. In fact, I mean, let's put politics aside for a moment, no matter where you stand on China and all these other issues. Didn't John Tester say that Conrad Burns had been in office for too long when he ran against him for the Senate back in 2006? And hasn't John Tester been there about the same amount of time by now? So using his own definition of being in Washington too long, he should hang it up.
Yeah, and that needs to happen and get God back in our country. And anyway, thank you for your service and
thank you.
Good job on the show. And
thanks, Tim. Well, I'll tell you what, you know, it's... I owe so much to so many folks all across Montana. When I thought about after 9/11 and why I decided to join, it was, you know, so many folks who were so good to me and my family and my brother when we were little kids growing up on the High Line that I owed it to them to step up. So I appreciate it. No, thank you. Thank you so much. 294-0970. Let's go to Tommy in Polebridge next up. Tommy, what's on your mind?
Hey, good morning, Aaron. Thank you for doing such a fine job. I think you were speaking about this earlier because I believe I'm listening to this on the site. And something that you brought up about DeSantis' in-laws, I was talking to his in-law, and I was in Darby a little while ago while COVID was going on, obviously. And, you know, it was funny because we were talking about how Newsom was walking around out there hiding in Darby in that area where his parents apparently have Newsom's parents has property, and mask-free, just like he found in the restaurant in California where they were all having a good time, and him and his kids were just roaming around the Darby area, There's a great little candy store and stuff in there, an antique store. So
yeah.
Just wanted to bring that up. Maybe somebody has some photos of him walking around that we can kind of post up there.
I'd love to interview his father-in-law to say, does Gavin Newsom actually believe this stuff that he spews out, or is he just a guy that just wants to have the title and the fancy hairdo? You know, like it's just one big show is what it looks like.
Yeah. I can't agree more with you. But I just wanted to let you know, and I thought maybe somebody had some photos of him out there in a bitterroot that may see him walking around like that.
Well, so it was funny because when I was in Hamilton last summer, and you get to chatting with folks offline. We were doing these freedom rallies out there in the area, and so I was joking. I said, I heard Gavin Newsom was down here the same weekend that Ron DeSantis was up in Whitefish. They're like, DeSantis came down here too. They were both on the golf course at the same time, but they didn't run into each other apparently. So
darn, that would have been a great confrontation. Maybe they'd be hitting each other with the clubs.
Newsom would be lucky that Donald Trump wasn't on the tee box, because he wouldn't even see what was coming.
absolutely. Thank you. Yes, absolutely. So I just thought, God, it'd be great to see some more photos of those days.
And, that's right. That would. Hey, thanks for the call. Thanks, Tommy. Thanks for listening in Polled Ridge. Bob in Lewistown said this on our app: so much for our representative republic. I don't recall voting for John Kerry or the climate agenda. Let's see, a listener in Columbia Falls. Apparently, we all missed the memo that the VA was changing from veterans assistance to vetting aliens. Apparently, it's the vetting administration, not the veterans administration. Sally in Sunburst asks why the folks at the Pentagon get health coverage so well that our veterans may not necessarily get. Evan in Belt says this. Well, there you go. Has John Tester, chairman of the Veterans Affairs Committee, said anything about condemning the VA using VA money to process illegal immigrants? Just remember, Tester has also been taking money from Chinese conglomerates who own farmland in Montana and elsewhere. So anyway, that story is confirmed, by the way. The DailyCaller.com had that very same report. All right. Man, the hour flew by. Thankfully, we'll be back here same time tomorrow taking your phone calls and more.